Whether you're here or listening, and we'll go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. What a chapter in the Word of God. And no way we could deal with all of it in a service. There's way too much there. And in fact, I think there's, was it 40 verses in the text. And it would take a long, long time to make it through 40 verses, maybe 40 weeks, probably take a week on every verse and still not exhaust it all. And so keep that in mind. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at a few things here this evening. Amen. Let's see the young slip in on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, and I'm just looking at verses 1 and 2. And we're looking at a truth, and was trying to get the truth during Sunday school this last Sunday. And we didn't make it out of verse number 1, so we're going to hit another lick at it here this evening. The Bible said, familiar verses, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that is faith, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And so we want to look at these verses with a very direct thought we want to get to. And just quickly, we'll take just a minute and rehearse what we went over a little bit on Sunday morning. This chapter is, of course, known as the faith chapter of the Word of God. And the faith of the people of God is clearly illustrated in this chapter from the lives of over a dozen Old Testament saints. And we read the statement over and over, through faith, by faith, and illustrating the matter of faith from the lives of God's saints. And so this chapter has been nicknamed, if you will, the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith, as it gives the history, the testimonies of some of the most amazing men and women that we read about, I would say, obviously, in the Bible, but in all of human history. And men like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and on and on and on down through the line, even to those unnamed saints of God that are mentioned in the end of this chapter, they are amazing. It's important to understand the emphasis of their lives. It is not that they're amazing in themselves, but that the emphasis is placed upon the faith that they had in God. Their faith that they had in God makes them exceptional. The faith they had in God, they had many blunders. These people we read about, many of them even in the Word of God, the Lord gives the highs and the lows, the goods and the bads, the ups and the downs. And we know that these are men and women who had some failures. Well, preacher, what makes them exceptional then if they fail like we do? It is their faith. It is their faith. It was their faith that made them so special among the people of God. And if you're going to be special tonight, it'll be faith, amen, that brings you into that kind of a life. We're not exceptional in ourselves, regardless of maybe what we think of ourselves. Amen. Paul said we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And many do, but if we're going to be anything for God and anything in the household of faith, amen, it will be by faith. Noah Webster's gave 12 different definitions. I'm not going to give y'all 12 tonight, but in the first of the 12 that he gave, Webster's defined faith simply as belief. He said it is the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidences. And so in breaking that down in simple layman's terms for our day, faith is just simply being that my mind affirms that what I've heard, that who I'm hearing it from is an authority, and that they can be trusted without any other evidence. And we read this in Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said that, he said in this first definition that faith is the judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. And so in this Hall of Fame of Faith, we find that, that there are different men and women who in this case and in this text of Bible faith, spiritual faith, that they have heard something from God or about God that they are making a judgment is absolutely right, that it is dependable and that it is indeed the truth. And so they're making a judgment. All men exercise some sort of faith in many different ways. I won't illustrate all of that again. Maybe we just mention that when it comes to the matter of history. We would understand many have written the history of past presidents, wars, other people or events that we did not meet or we were not a part of, but we have faith to believe those things that are communicated to us happened as they did. Now, when it comes to history, we're seeing revisionist history all over the place. And so you got to be careful who you listen to in these days, even about history and past men and wars and events. But can I say, when it comes to the matter of spiritual faith and what God has said in His Word, we do not need a revision. We do not need anything else spoken other than that God has said. And so when it comes to our faith, we arise with conviction, amen, to say, let God be true and every man a liar. At what God has said about past events, amen, creation and different events of human history is recorded in Bible, scientific matters, amen, when it comes to spiritual truth and doctrines about salvation and otherwise, when it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ from His virgin birth to His atoning death to His miraculous resurrection, we take God at His word by faith, believing that what God has said, amen, is so, when we need no further evidence. And so Hebrews 11 is concerned with spiritual faith, that is faith in God. And when Webster's definition is applied to this realm, it applies to not only believing in God, but believing what God has said in His Word. Faith in God takes God at His Word with no need of any further evidence or argument. We need no other argument. And we understand this in many ways. Science, amen, 6,000 years later is catching up to prove that what God said in His Word is so. And we're thankful to God for that. And we have faith to believe that. In fact, Hebrews 11, verse 3, we're not dealing with it tonight, but the Bible author here, Paul, says, through faith we understand the worlds are framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so we believe that. We don't need you to recreate in a test tube or in a laboratory, amen, you wouldn't be able to do it no-how, amen, but we don't need it duplicated some way to believe it. We believe it through faith, because that's how God said it. Now, in fact, Noah Webster defined faith in a theological sense as the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. He said it's just simple belief of scriptures of the being and perfections of God and of the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ founded on the testimony of sacred writers. And a lot we said on Sunday about that, a lot more we could say about it tonight. Amen. But I'm glad this evening we have this faith chapter. This is what we find in this faith chapter in the lives of these saints. They believed God. They believed what God said. They believed in the promises God had made. And even when everything was against them and everything looked like it was contrary in their lives to what God had told them, they just kept walking by faith, and through faith accomplished great things for God. And so this chapter begins, now faith. Now faith, the word for faith here simply means believing or giving credit to another. It to be a firm persuasion, a conviction based on hearing. And this word faith is always used in the New Testament in connection to trusting God, Christ, or spiritual things. And so we can run this word through the New Testament. Sinners are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. Sinners are justified, given access to God by faith, Romans 5:1-2. Romans 14:23, anything in our lives, and this is important, our study tonight, but anything in our lives that is not done by faith, Paul said it is sin. And so faith is a major theme in the Word of God that is to be in the life of the child of God. James 2:14-26, though faith and works are complete opposites of each other, they are, however, complementary one to the other. And so our faith is born out through our works, and our works give evidence to the faith that we proclaim that we have. There's no need to take James 2, amen, into false doctrines in the ditches. Amen. James is not teaching a works-based salvation, but rather is saying they are opposite, but they are complementing one another. Jude in verse number 3, faith is something that must be guarded and contended for. And I understand the use of the word faith there, but we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And so according to these verses, as well as many others we could reference, we find that faith in God, it begins at salvation. It begins at salvation. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that faith then is exercised as the Holy Ghost brings conviction and leads a man to repentance. Faith is exercised in Christ. And in repentance, men turn to God from their sin. And my friend, faith, through faith, men are saved. From the point of salvation, faith is something that is to be growing. 1 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter rather chapter 1, verse number 5, add to your faith. And he begins to give a list of things that spring forth from that saving faith. And so we exercise it in salvation. It begins in that moment in our life. And then we're to grow in that faith. We're to grow in that faith. The scripture is clear that the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. And all of this comes down to the key verse, maybe, I'm for sure, the key verse of Hebrews 11. Maybe the key verse, Brother Mike, to all of the subject of faith, I would say, is Hebrews 11 in verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we cannot please God apart from faith. It takes faith to please God. That's why a sinner cannot please God by his works. He's going to have to please God by faith. What kind of faith? Amen. That faith that comes to God saying and believing that God is and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And my thought would be tonight that even we as children of God who have exercised saving faith cannot continue to please God apart from faith. And it's not our works that please God, but it's our faith in Christ, our faith in God, our faith in His Word that motivates those works, where we continue to believe that He is, we continue to believe that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so faith, this is a challenge, Hebrews 11, amen, I believe is a challenge for the child of God to keep the faith. Keep the faith. That's what Paul is really, I don't want to say arguing, it's what Paul is laying out. It's the challenge that he has. As you spring from chapter 10 to chapter 12, there's this amazing chapter where he is illustrating faith in God's people for a definite purpose. He's saying, yes, their faith, the faith of Abel, the faith of Enoch, that was yesterday, but it's relevant in the fact that it testifies to you and I that we are to keep the faith. You are saved by faith. You're growing in your faith. Don't cast your faith off. Don't lay down your faith. Don't quit believing God. Don't lose your confidence in the Lord. Amen. You had faith for Him to save you. You've had faith thus far in your walk with God. And so keep your faith all the way to the end. And so we're dealing with that subject simply encouraging us in these last days in the matter of keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. You say, preacher, how in the world do we get that out of verses 1 and 2. Well, we looked at Sunday, this all the further we made it, the explanation of faith in verse number 1. The explanation of faith. Verse 1 is not merely and really maybe not at all a definition of faith, but rather, I believe, is a practical explanation of what faith is. Faith is the substance, two things Paul says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, number one. Number two, it is the evidence of things not seen. And so what we find here is an explanation of faith. Warren Wiersbe explained faith from this verse as confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. And I believe this is certainly seen in the lives of these people throughout Hebrews 11. We're not studying them per se tonight, but I believe we could say in our knowledge of them, and most everybody here has been well versed in Hebrews 11 at some point or time or another, amen, is that is exactly what these men and women had. It's exactly what Paul is encouraging us to have, is that confident obedience to God's word in spite of what the circumstances look like, in spite of what the consequences may be for believing God and doing what God has called us to do by faith, that we still believe God and we confidently obey Him. And in fact, that brings us to the first of the two explanations that are here given concerning faith. Faith, I believe we could say, could be explained as just simple confidence in God. When we talk about faith, the faith that Paul is dealing with, he is dealing with confidence in God. Now faith is the substance. It is the substance. Substance here means a setting under or a support. It is the essence or assurance of something. It's translated in other places as confidence. It carries the idea of that of a foundation. And so Paul is saying now faith is the foundation of things hoped for. It is the foundation of the believer's life. Without faith, you're nothing. Without faith in God, you have no walk with God. You have nothing to believe. You have nothing to hope for and to put your trust in. And so faith is simply explained here in this verse as confidence in God. Confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God and His Word that God is right and God is true. That God is right and God is true. That's where my hope lies tonight. Amen. I'm not on a whim. I'm not wishfully thinking anything tonight. Amen. I have confidence in God. What God has said about Himself. What God has said about what He's done. What God has promised me in my heart that He is doing. What God has confirmed in His Word that He's going to do. I have faith. That is, I can explain my faith by saying I have confidence in God. Amen. It's the expectation that God will do all things He has promised, and His confidence so strong, listen now, so strong that it makes those promises real and gives them substance in our soul. Amen. I'm not talking about casually believe. I don't even think you can casually believe anything about God. You either believe it or you don't. Amen. You either believe it or you don't. You either have confidence or you don't. And so this matter of faith, it is a confidence so strong that it makes the promises of God real as though they were tangible. We're walking by faith. Amen. In fact, concerning the promises that await us, the Apostle Paul said, now we see them as through a glass darkly, but there's coming a day we're going to see it face to face. And so right now we're living by faith, confidence in God, and yet to the child of God, amen, we could deal with so many doctrines, amen, just take the very doctrine of the Lord's imminent return, amen, it is real to the child of God. It is real, the child of God. We've not experienced it. It's not anything we've experienced, But faith makes it real to our heart. And faith gives though that promise, and every promise God has made, it gives its substance in our soul so that it's real. It is real tonight. Amen. Can I say my salvation's real? Amen. I don't need you to confirm it in me. My confidence lies in God. And so it doesn't matter how I feel. It don't matter what you think about it. Amen. It rests in God as a real substance in my soul. And so faith, the explanation of faith, it is confidence in God. And then I don't think this is redundant. Amen. But faith is explained in this verse, I think we could say, is conviction about God. He said here, it's not only the substance of things hoped for, but it is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Evidence simply means proof or conviction. It implies the manifestation of truth has been proven and the results of its acknowledgement are at work. And so it's just faith. Listen, we don't need tangible evidence. Faith believes what God has said. Faith takes God so much at His Word that His Word is all the evidence we need. Amen. That's what faith is. Faith is a conviction. We bogged down on this Sunday morning. I can't do it here. Faith is a conviction that God is real and at work in all things according to His Word, though those things may not be seen with the human eye. And so faith says, amen, it doesn't matter what things look like around me. It doesn't matter that everything looks like, everything sounds like, everything seems like, everything feels like, that it ain't going to turn out how God said. That's when, my friend, that the flesh is doubting, but faith steps in and says, but none of that matters, God said. And so faith is conviction. Faith is conviction about God. Matthew Henry said of this, faith is the firm assent of the soul, the divine revelation, and every part of it, and sets to its seal that God is true. And so here we would say that faith is not mere opinion. My spiritual walk with God is not based on an opinion. It's not based on opinion. In fact, I said Sunday morning, and it kind of goes over like screen doors on a submarine. Amen. With a lot of people in our generation, I have zero opinions about God. I don't have opinions about God. I have convictions about God. I don't have opinions about, amen, a life of faith. I have convictions about God and what He has said in His Word. And so I do not cast my life upon opinions or upon whims, but rather true conviction that though God is not seen, He is real and He is at work in my life. Amen. And so that's the explanation of faith. Verse number 2, quickly, we find the example of faith. The example of faith. And hang with me, it all makes sense. I ain't forgot where we are keeping the faith. If you're going to keep it, you got to understand the explanation of it and then understand the example of faith as is given in verse number 2. For by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. And this is really what brings us into the whole of Hebrews 11 as he is going to reference the forefathers of the faith and the testimony that they had because of their faith. And so there's several things I think we can observe about their faith just in this one verse without going over all the other 38 verses tonight. How is faith exemplified in this text? Well, I think we could say that faith is ancient. Faith is ancient, for by it, amen, it's not the youngins, he said, it's the elders. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. That is, men have been exercising trust in God since the beginning. Amen, you're not the first one to believe God. And we're not the first ones, my friend, to be of this faith and of this persuasion and this conviction and this confidence in God. Faith is an ancient thing. Amen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And it goes all the way back to the days of Abel and the exemplary faith that Abel gave, from Abel to Enoch, Enoch to Noah, Noah to Abraham and Sarah, and on down the line. Amen. What we find is that faith is something that is ancient. When we talk about Bible faith tonight, we're not talking about, everybody's wanting to find something new. And we're living in a day where all sorts of podcasts are popping up. And my friend, downplay the idea, and I don't want to get hung up on semantics, amen, but the idea of old-timey things, ancient things, old-time religion, and I know that, depending on what circle you're in, that means something different, but may I say, we ought not be looking for something newfangled. Amen. We ought to be looking for the ancient ways. The same thing that the elders obtained a good report by is what you and I's going to have a good report before God. And so we're not recovering from anything, and we're not looking for something new and bright and shiny. Brother Mike, we understand that faith is ancient. Faith is ancient. Amen. And in fact, this matter of faith being ancient, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And he goes all the way through chapter number 11, and we come to chapter 12, verse number 1, and we find that this same ancient faith continues to be a witness of the faith of God's people in our day. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 is one of the most... It makes me so aggravated. I've heard it misapplied in camp meetings and churches all my life. Amen. Your great grandma ain't looking through the holes of heaven. Amen. Watching your life. They are not witnesses of us. They are witnesses to us. Amen. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Looking at their life of faith, patterning our life after their faith, because they kept the faith. That ancient faith is a witness to you and to me. And there's a lot I could say there that blows out a lot of people's theology, but we'll leave off there. Faith is ancient. Faith is amazing. Faith is amazing. For by it, the elders obtained a what? A good report. And so faith is amazing. One explanation, the meaning of this verse is that by faith, these ancients did amazing acts, which is what the chapter is speaking of. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, it was faith that caused Abel to offer an amazing sacrifice. It's Enoch's walk with God by faith that became so amazing and stood out in his generation. It's Noah's faith. It's his faith that moved him to build this amazing boat, the saving of his house, and spare not only them, but the rest of humanity on down the line. And we go on and on. Faith provided the means whereby amazing things could be done. Amen. They were average people trusting an able God that resulted in amazing things. Amen. And so that gives us hope tonight. Amen. Because, they some days I think I'm pretty amazing, and then I get reminded when I look in the mirror, I'm just average, and you're just average. And we think on terms sometimes that I'm too average to do anything or to see God do great things in my life. But can I remind you, Moses was an average man. He stuttered. He had a lot of insecurities. He had a lot of doubts about himself and his own abilities. And yet somehow in all of that, by faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he came back and he led God's people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. What made the difference? He was an average person trusting an able God that resulted in amazing things happening. And so, child of God, cheer up. Amen. Moses, God is your God. Amen. And Abraham's God is your God. And though we may be average and we may even be less than average, amen, if we will put our faith in an able God, that able God through that faith will do amazing things. And so faith is ancient, faith is amazing, but faith is acceptable. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Another way to define this verse is that these people of faith obtained a good testimony. They obtained a good testimony. Amen. Probably and most definitely, amen, not before the world and before heathens, but most definitely before God and the people of God. Abraham's my hero, and Moses is my hero. Amen. LeBron James is not my hero, and movie stars, God help us, are not our heroes, and politicians are not our heroes, and the men of this world and the great things they do, though we may admire certain talents and abilities and go, man, I wish I could do that. Amen. They're not our heroes. Our heroes is God's people come from this list of men and women who simply believe God. They simply believe God. And so no doubt, amen, and that's the theme of the chapter, amen, that they obtained a good report. They obtained a good report in heaven, and they obtained a good report to the people of God. And though Abel was hated by Cain, and Enoch no doubt was despised by his generation, and Noah was mocked as one who is but a fool and an insane man, the fact of the matter is, to God and the people of God, these have obtained a good report. Amen. That phrase simply means to be a witness and to be ready and able to testify. They are ready and they are able to testify that God can do anything and that God can do the impossible. And even when they laugh, as Sarah did in her tent, in the promises of God, amen, God rises and testifies for himself in their life, amen, that though it be impossible with man, nothing is impossible with God. And somewhere along the way, Sarah believed that, amen, because Hebrews 11 said, amen, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And so though they had doubts somewhere along the way, they believed God, and that faith was acceptable to God. And so we see the example of faith from verse number 2. Now, what we want to do is combine these two thoughts and give you a closing thought, amen, in the next 13 minutes. Faith, amen, we see its example and its explanation, but if we could explain it, and I don't know that we've done a good job of explaining it, and if we was to just simply look at the simple example as is given from verse number 2, I understand we could go a lot more in depth throughout the remainder of the chapter, but if we looked at all these examples and yet never exercised it ourselves, it wouldn't matter if John the Baptist or the Apostle Paul explained it to us. Amen. It wouldn't matter if Christ himself came back and pointed to these examples. Sooner or later, we have to exercise this matter of faith that we've heard and been taught and explained and exemplified, amen, so many times. And so we want to look quickly at the exercise of faith. You say, preacher, where do you see this in this text? Notice how this chapter begins. Now, faith. Now, faith. The word now, and Brother Paul Moss filled in for us as we were sick on Sunday night, and he did a good job with that word now in light of the resurrection, and he used it right, and he explained it right, that it is a word that deals with a definite time or a definite purpose or reason why what he's getting ready to say is relevant to what he has already said. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So the opening words of this chapter, now faith, they are important for you and I to know. It's here we must understand the Apostle Paul is writing about faith in this chapter, because if something that has just been addressed in the end of the previous text. And so you say, well, preacher, what is it? Well, back up with me there in Hebrews 10 quickly, and let me run you through here, and you'll see the point, I do believe, as is given. In Hebrews 10, beginning in verse number 32 down through 39, the Apostle Paul in verse 32, he references the salvation of believers. Notice what he said, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. After ye were illuminated. Amen. That word illuminated, boy, you talk about a preaching word. Amen. Illuminated. He said the light. Amen. The light shone in your life. Amen. In fact, that word literally means to shed rays upon or to shine or brighten up. And what he's dealing with is you need to remember where you were when you was in the darkness and the light came on. Amen. He is dealing with them about remembering and referencing back that there was a time in their life, amen, when God saved their soul. How did they get saved? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. And so it's faith that turned the light on. It's faith. Amen. When the light of the gospel shone upon them. He then from that verse begins to deal with the afflictions and reproaches that they had faced because of their commitment to Christ. He said, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Ye endured a great fight of afflictions. And so he's saying there was a day you was lost. You put your faith in Christ. The light came on and you got saved. And since that day, what's been going on? They've been in a great fight. Amen. And the gospel being preached today is this. If you'll get saved, all your bad days will be behind you. And God will give you all good days. That ain't what the Word of God teaches. Word of God says when the light come on and you got saved, it was a life of commitment to Christ. And in that life, you have a great fight. Now, I don't want to depress you today. Amen. I'd rather be saved and be in a great fight and then it end in glory and victory. Amen. Than to be lost and, amen, not have the fight and all that's going on in these days. And wind up in hell. But when you got saved, amen, Paul said, when you got saved, you had to start learning how to endure a great fight of affliction. Amen. And so partly while she were made, I don't have time to deal with all this, she is made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions. Amen. He said your life was filled with pain. The world was looking at you. Amen. Feeling sorry for you, looking at you with reproach, looking at you as though they looked down upon you. He said, and partly why she became companions of them that were so used. Amen. You left your old buddies. You left the honky tonks and the dance halls and the bar rooms, and you left dead religion and Phariseeism and hypocrisy, and you joined the band that have true faith. And now they look down on you because of your faith and commitment to Christ. Amen. He said, for you had compassion on me and my bonds and took joyfully in the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Amen. Let me just end there with that. He's dealing with afflictions and reproaches that they have faced because of their commitment to Christ. He's writing to those believers of his day. He says, I believe you're saved. I believe the light came on, and I know everything you've been through. I know the fight that you've been in. I know the things you've had to endure. I know the afflictions, the reproaches. I know the ways that you feel. I know what it's cost you. Amen. He's reminding them or letting them know, amen, he knows the Christian life is not always easy. He deals with the endurance of the believers through these afflictions. Amen. That they have been faithful and they have been true. You've endured that great fight of affliction. That word endure means you've bared up under the load. You have been faithful when it would have been easier to quit. You've been faithful till now. He said you've not only been faithful to the faith, but you've been faithful to God's man. And he talks about their compassion to ease the load off of God's man and how that they gave of themselves to try to help the gospel get out to other people, even though they themselves were afflicted. They wanted others brought into the faith. And he understands that they have endured. And then he reminds them of the hope, the reward, and the promise that they had become expectant to receive. He said there that knowing that you've been faithful to now, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. A better and enduring substance. He said, you know, and since you got saved, that you're enduring these things, but you know that any day now it's going to get better. Amen. Not here, it ain't going to get better. Here, it may get worse here. And in fact, that's his whole point, is it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse, but don't lose sight of the hope that you have that in heaven there is a better and an enduring substance. He said, you have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise for yet a little while. I love this verse. And he that shall come and will not tarry. What he's saying is don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of the expectation that Christ is soon to come. The one you're waiting on, the one who said, I prepared a place and will come again and will receive you unto myself. The one that has made this promise, he's going to come again. He's not going to tarry. Amen. So stay true, stay faithful. In fact, in recalling these things, the Apostle Paul evidently has some concern. Now, this is important now. He has some concern about some of these believers as he commands them in verse 35. Watch it now. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Cast not away therefore your confidence. He ain't talking about saving faith. That can't be lost. That can't be cast aside. Amen. But our faith in God, our confidence in God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Your confidence in God and conviction about God, don't cast that off. Don't lose sight of that. All right? And in doing so, in this concern that he has, should we be concerned about that today? I believe we should. I believe Paul was deeply concerned about that, Brother Tim, in his day. Here's what he said to young Timothy, and always trying to prepare Timothy for the last days. He said this, know also, that in latter times men shall depart from what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're going to depart from the faith. And here Paul is saying, being concerned about the believers of his day, at least some of them, cast not away therefore your confidence. You've been saved, you've been doing well, and as things progress on down the line, don't cast that confidence in God aside. Amen. Make sure you stay true to your faith. Amen. Now, how is he going to drive this point home? In verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, and this verse is quotation from the Old Testament. I believe it's the book of Habakkuk. Amen. The just shall live by his faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And so the crowd that the crowd that, my friend, loses their faith and confidence in God. Amen. Paul said, as the preacher, that brings no pleasure to me. And if it don't please Paul, I doubt that it pleases God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so what displeases God, displeases this man of God. And what does he say? But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And so we that are truly saved, we're not looking for a place to back up. We're not looking for a place to ease up. Amen. Listen, even when the going gets tough, we may feel like we're going to break in a million pieces. We may feel like in ourselves that it's more than we can handle. How many of y'all have been through things like that before? And yet you're here tonight. Can I tell you how you made it? By faith. Amen. It was faith that carried you through. It was the God that you had faith in that carried you through, and you're here tonight. Guess what? Tonight you may feel hopeless. Tonight you may feel as weak as you've ever felt. You know what's going to have you here months from now? Amen. It's going to be faith. And that's why Paul said, now faith. Amen. Don't cast your faith aside. Don't cast your confidence aside. Amen. Keep believing God. Amen. It is with this in mind, the Holy Spirit moves the pen of Paul to write, now faith is. The connection here is that to make it through afflictions and reproaches and trouble, we must keep the faith. Amen. Keep your faith in tune with God. Keep walking. Amen. Keep walking by faith and worshiping by faith and working by faith and waiting by faith. And on that we've heard throughout the book of Hebrews 11. Amen. You keep doing this by faith. Amen. Now faith. How are you going to make it? Now you're going to make it by faith. How are you going to make it in these last days? COVID or no COVID? How are you going to make it? Faith. Amen. Democrats in charge or Republicans in charge? How are you going to make it? Amen. By faith, through faith. Amen. When afflictions come and approaches come and trouble comes, and hurts come, and pains come, and betrayals come, and lies come. Amen. When the heathen rage, what are we going to do? Keep the faith. Keep the faith. You say, preach, it just don't look like it's working anymore. Amen. It'll work as good today as it's ever worked in 6,000 years. Amen. We've got to keep the faith. Amen. Hebrews 11 is all about understanding the faith of those who have gone before and how that they endured through many bad circumstances and yet remained true to God in obeying Him and His Word. Amen. Here's what Jesus said about his own coming. He said, I'll come when it gets as it was in the days of Noah. Now, is that important for us? You better believe it is, because in the days of Noah, it was tough. It wasn't easy to live for God. It wasn't easy being laughed at and ridiculed and mocked. And Noah, amen, swinging a hammer in one hand and preaching God's word with the other and being ridiculed the way he was. And yet Noah did it and he made it. And guess how we're going to make it? The same way Noah did in these last days. Amen. We need to keep the faith. Amen. And so we'll close tonight by saying this. Faith is no good until it's exercised. Your faith and what faith you say you have, amen, really, really is absolutely worthless until it's exercised. If you can explain it intricately, and you can point to the examples and give examples of faith without exercising it, all of that would be useless. It will never be exercised until it is tried. It will never be tried until it is faced with troubling circumstances. And it's there you'll learn whether or not you can really truly keep the faith. Amen. Amen. And so when hardships come, amen, and trials come, and I'm tempted to do the same thing. I ain't preaching from a pedestal tonight. I ain't doing much preaching anyway. A lot of teaching tonight. I ain't teaching from a place of up here and everybody else. I'm tempted to bellyache just like everybody else is. Amen. But I tell you what we do, instead of bellyaching, we get on our knees. Amen. And say, Lord, I want to keep the faith through this and walk on through it no matter how I'm treated, no matter what's done, no matter what, how I'm viewed or looked at in, and just keep the faith knowing that Jesus is coming just any day now. Amen. It'll be worth it all. It'll all be worth it when we make it to the other side. Amen. Amen. Keeping the faith. Let's keep the faith and be true in these days. All right.